Okay, now can you hear me? Okay, so what is the Hebrew name for today? No? Oh, my word. We need to start Hebrew classes back up again, right? Right? Shavuot. 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 And so it is a special day. It is a special day. And it's a day of celebration. It was not really known as Pentecost, though, until when the Holy Spirit came down after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so we're gonna share a little bit about that. There's several different things that I want to share about you, share with you about day, and then we're going to specially dive into Acts chapter 2, but I want to look at some of the Old Testament scriptures, because it didn't start in Acts, it actually started in Exodus, and so we're going to take a look at that as well. But I had two dreams this past week, and so one of them I'm going to share with you now, and it was on June the 4th. Early that morning, I had this particular dream. And so, in the dream, I was in a second-story room. And I was not right at the window, but I was near a window. And outside, I could see this tapestry throw rug that was in this tree. And it was a pine tree. And so this throw rug is kind of draped over a branch, and I noticed that there were birds lining up in rows sitting on that tapestry throw rug. And then the next thing I noticed is that they all braced themselves, and the carpet then, the throw rug, started sliding down, and it was row after row of three in each row of these birds on this carpet, and they were riding it down. It looked like a roller coaster, and they were enjoying that. And I knew, you know, when you have dreams, there's just some things you know. And so I knew that this was not the first time that they had done this. And when they got down to the bottom, I knew that they were going to pick it up by the fringe, and all of the birds working together picked it up, brought it back up to the branch, laid it on there, and all got back on it to write it back down again. And whenever I had that dream, when I woke up from that dream, I instantly thought of the message from last week that Steve preached. What an awesome message that was, right? I said, what an awesome message that was. Okay, I'm sure glad Steve's not here. Yeah, it was. It was an awesome message. And it was a timely message, and it was a message we needed to hear, right? And what was that message about? Huh? Unity. Okay, yeah. That is a good message whenever you can remember the next week what it was about. I've had a lot of people tell me, man, Pastor, that message last week was really great. Really just spoke to my heart and so forth. And I said, really, what did I preach on last week? Well, I know it was a good message, man. And then you get message, or then you get people that come up and, wow, Pastor, that was such a wonderful message, and it really touched my heart. And you said this, and you said that, and man, it just spoke volumes to me, and so forth. And I thank them, graciously thank them, and I'm thinking, I never said a thing like that. But that's the way the Holy Spirit works, though. He is a master communicator, and he can allow and cause you to hear what you need to hear from any message. Amen? In fact, you're going to see that on the day of Pentecost, whenever the Holy Spirit came down, right? Okay. And then I also, not only did it remind me of Steve's message last week on unity, but also the verse in First Acts chapter 1. Let me get there. Because I was in somewhere else ready to... In Acts chapter 1, I think it was verse 14, yes. And these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so we know that they were all in the upper room. In King James, it tells us that they were in a Honda. They were all in one accord. And so they were in unity. They were working together. And it was more than just they were there in one mind. That's true, but they were purposely unifying. They were purposely seeking the Lord and doing something about it, and in prayer and so forth. Okay. And so we do need unity, right? We do need unity. I could say something else right here, but then I'd be getting ahead of my message. So let's just move on, okay? So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Exodus, and I want to read 24 verses 9 through 11. So where did Shavuot start from? What does Pentecost mean? It's a Greek word. I heard something over here. It means 50. Penta is 50, right? 50. And what does the 50 have to do with anything? You said it, 50 days after the crucifixion, yes, after Passover, okay? That's where the Pentecost, the word Pentecost came from, so it's a New Testament word. It was a Greek word, and who knows what Shavuot means? Shavuot, that's how you actually say it, Shavuot. Anybody know? Feast of Weeks. And how many weeks? 7 weeks. So 7 times 7 is what? 49 plus the 1. Okay? So that's where we get the 50. Okay, so are you with me there in Exodus chapter 24, verses 9 through 12? Let's take a look at that. Then Moses went up on with Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel. And they saw God, and they ate and drank. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments which I have written for their instruction." Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord our God, again we do thank you for this day, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together. We thank you especially for this day to be able to celebrate the day of Pentecost and all that you have given to us, and in all of that, in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And I pray that, Heavenly Father, that for each and every one of us, that dots would be connected, that we would have a greater understanding of what you're doing and what you're saying and so forth. That Lord God, that we would just not only gain a greater knowledge and understanding, but Heavenly Father, our hearts would be turned to you and recognizing your awesomeness and all that you are and all that you are for us. And we give you praise for that. And so, Holy Spirit, just come and do the thing that you do best. teach us, reveal to us those things of Christ in the Word, and cause it to be alive in our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just move very mightily, and that, Lord, that not a one of us would be left the same, but we would be changed. I thank you for the angels that guard this place and protect us and keep us safe, but also help us to keep our minds focused. And so I just come against any spirit that try to bring distraction cause us to get sidetracked, but Lord God, that our minds would be stayed focused upon you and your word and the things that you have for us. I just thank you, Father God, for the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed that set us free. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit that empowers us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let me just share a few things about Pentecost and Shavuot that... And I'm not going to be able to share everything, just don't have enough time. But first of all, there was a wave offering to be presented. And now I'm at a disadvantage because I'm only got one hand. But on this particular day was a wave offering, and it was a wave offering of 2 loaves of bread. And so it was a marking of the end of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. So if you remember, at the beginning of the weeks before, at the beginning of the barley harvest, they were to bring 2 sheaves of barley, and they would wave them before the Lord as a wave offering. Remember that? Israel, you remember that? And so they would wave those as an offering unto the Lord, a wave offering unto the Lord. Now, on this day, on Shavuot, it was the end of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. And so they were to bring 2 loaves of baked bread and wave them before the Lord. And you notice that this bread is leavened. And it was to be leavened. At Passover, in preparation of Passover, they were to get rid of all of the leaven, to clean it out of their homes. And they only ate unleavened bread, right? And what does the leaven represent? Pardon? Yeah, sin. Represented sin in our lives and so forth. And so we needed to get rid of that and get all of that out of our lives and out of our homes and so forth. And so then we would only eat leavened bread. Unleavened bread. But then at Shavuot, now we have the leavened bread with the leaven in it. Why do you think that is? Remember, everything happens for type and shadow. Everything that Israel ever did, everything that God does through the history is to teach us and to prepare us for something coming. Are you with me? Right. And so what he was saying, basically, and we get it now because Christ has already came. The death, burial, and resurrection, through his shed blood, our sins have been cleansed. And to those that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin in our life has now been nullified. It has no effect upon us. Leaven is an influencer, right? And so the leaven influenced this bread and caused it to expand and get bigger, where the leaven was not in this one and it didn't work because it wasn't there. It was not influencing the bread. Are you with me? Yeah. And so... the scripture tells us that now to those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Right? Amen. Amen. Doesn't mean that we should continue in sin. In fact, Paul says, no, absolutely not. That's not what grace is all about. That's not what the power of the Lord is for. But what it does say is that sin now, as to a believer, no longer has an influence upon you. You're set free from it. It no longer has an influence upon you. And then John tells us, if you do sin, if you confess your sin, then he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all sin. Right? And so there it was. It was being taught for 1,500 years before Christ ever came upon the scene. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so they were to wave the bread. It was a wave offering. Also, Pentecost is just a one-day celebration. Many feast days of the Lord. And also, let me just say this. There's a lot of things being said about Pentecost and so forth that just really are not true. I've heard a lot of people say that, well, Pentecost is a Christian holiday. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not just a Christian holiday. It is celebrated on God's appointed day. Others say, well, it's a Jewish holiday, you know, and God, there's a lot of Jewish holidays, in fact, seven major ones, right? But no, they're not Jewish holidays. They're God's appointed times. And in each one of those times, God has revealed something to us, okay? And so they're feast days that God himself has set aside and said, these days are for me. Some of those days we will celebrate by eating and drinking and so forth and being merry. Other days we will observe as solemn occasions and so forth. But Pentecost, Shavuot, was one day. One day instead of seven. It's celebrated on one day. And also there is no day that you can go to the calendar and say, okay, it is always on this particular day, because no, it's not. There is no date set for that. It follows, it's connected to what? Passover. 50 days after Passover was Shavuot. And so it was a countdown. It was a countdown. Are you with me? Okay. They ate and drank. Did you notice that? We read that in that passage that we read there in Exodus, verse 11. Talking about God to begin with, and said, yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel. In other words, God did not pronounce a curse on them because they were there in his presence. Can you imagine? Here they were. They were there in the presence of God Almighty and lived. And it says, and they saw God. And not only that, they saw his feet and what he was standing on. Isn't that amazing? And it says there that God did not stretch out his hand against them. And then it says, they saw God, and they ate, and they drank. They saw God, they ate, and they drank. Why do you think that they ate and they drank? Well, you guys are awful quiet this morning. You at least take a guess. Because they were hungry? A celebration? Okay. Here's their mindset, though. You got to think like a Hebrew, which we don't. We have a hard time with that. Because they think with an Eastern mindset. We are Western. Everything's very analytical. We're more right-brained than left-brained. Right? And it just happens to be that way. It's our parents' fault. But anyway, with the Eastern mindset, they were thinking like this. You remember Enoch? What happened to that poor guy? Yeah, it says he walked with God. In other words, he was in the presence of God. He walked with God, and then what? Whoop, he was no more. He was taken up for good. Okay? And so the Eastern mindset is this. We've got to maintain some naturalism somehow to stay connected to the earth. Being in the presence of the Lord, we may get zapped away. They were afraid of the rapture, in a nutshell. And so eating and drinking gave them a sense of being connected. That was their mindset. Also, it was a praise. And during this time, during Shavuot, there's a lot of praise. In fact, they would read several of the psalms. There were several different psalms and of praise and so forth that they would sing and they would read and in this celebration. But one of them was this, is that they tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat and drink. That's the history of the Hebrew people, right? They tried to kill us, but we won. So now let's eat and drink. And so that was a form of their praise. And they would praise. And this was a celebration time. This was a time of feasting. This was a time to eat and drink and be merry. Okay? So what else happened on Shavuot? Don't know? Another thing that they would do, and I'll get to it here in a minute, is that, first of all, this is the birth of the nation of Israel in Exodus on the day of Shavuot. And the Lord was reading off, as the bridegroom would, the decree of the marriage. And the nation of Israel, as a nation, was literally being birthed there. And God was saying, these are my people, and I am their God. And then he would read off the conditions of that marriage contract. At Pentecost, we had the birth of something else. What was that? Yeah, the church. Who said that? Jeff. Jeff's the one over. Jeff, you get an A already. So he's the prize student here. He's given all of the answers. But listen, you want to listen carefully because he may shout out squirrel after bed. But anyway, you know the story to that. We know that every answer is supposed to be Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me, okay, right? But anyway, so we have the birth there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell and on those 3,000 individuals and so forth, was the birth of the church, And so one of the things we must realize, and when we've got to understand this, we've got to get it into our hearts and our minds, is that when the church was birthed, it was not birthed outside of Israel. It was not birthed outside of the Hebrew people. In fact, the church was over 90% Hebrew. The church, when it was birthed. Are you with me? We talk about, well, Israel rejected Jesus. No, not all of them. Many of them believed. Many of them were believers. And 3,000 of them got filled with the Holy Ghost that particular day. Are you with me? And so it wasn't until Paul came on the scene that the Gentiles really began to come into the fold. But the Scripture, even Paul tells us that as Gentiles, we were grafted in to the Hebrew nation. We're not separate from them. We owe them. We're indebted to them. It's through Israel that the Messiah came. Are you with me? So we are, as Paul says, it is those that are children, those true children of Abraham are those that are children by faith, not bloodline. By faith. And so by faith, you and I are Hebrew. Hello, light bulbs should be going off. By faith, we've been grafted in, we've been adopted, and now the Spirit in us cries out, Abba, Father. He is our Father, and we are His children. Amen? And so the church is Gentile and Hebrew combined together. Paul tells us that in Christ Jesus, there is no difference. In Christ Jesus, it's all on the same leveling field. In Christ Jesus, there is no Gentile or Hebrew. There is no male or female. We're all on the same leveling field. We're all children of the most holy and most high God. Amen? So don't be bad-mouthing your brothers and your sisters. So on Shavuot, there on Mount Sinai, something very major happened. What was given? Yeah, the commandments, the law. The law was given, okay? And so the law was given, the Word of God was given, the Word of God was written down. In fact, God Himself had written it on the tablets and told Moses to take those down now to the people, and they were instructions for them. Are you with me? And so there was a major giving of God on Shavuot, and that was the Word of God. At Pentecost, what came down? What did God give us? Yeah, His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. And so what does that tell us? Well, first of all, with Pentecostal blood in me, here's what I've come to know and understand through that, okay? This is what personally spoke to me, is that we have received the Word of God, and it is awesome. It's mighty, and it has not been nullified. It's not been done away with. We still have it. We still need it, but we also need, and it was not enough in itself. We needed the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, now we can go to the Word and make it make sense. Now it literally changes us. Now it literally has the power to be released within our minds and our intellect and our understanding, and it can change us. Paul tells us that before you received the Holy Spirit, you wanted to do good, but you couldn't. Why? Because you didn't have the power to do it. But now that the Holy Spirit is in you, there is no excuse. You do have the power. You can make right choices. You can make the right decisions. You can walk in a holy life before God. Are you with me? So the power of the Holy Spirit was needed combined with the Word of God. We still need the Word of God. We need to be stewards of the Word of God. We need to be digesting the Word. We need to get it inside of us. Amen? And so it's the Word and the Holy Spirit, not one or the other. Yeah, but Pastor, we're not under the law. That's true. We're not under the law. The law was given so that you would recognize, I can't do it. That's tough stuff. But the Holy Spirit was given to empower you to be able to do it. And then what happened? God said, I'm going to give them a heart of flesh in the place of the stony heart. And I'm going to write my laws upon their hearts. So we're not under the law, but we're under the Spirit of love and the law of grace. Amen? And I've told you over again what grace is, but let me tell you again. Grace is the divine power working in our lives for change. God said, I love you, but I love you too much to leave you the way that you are. Let me give you my Holy Spirit, and He will help get things cleaned up in your life. You can't do it on your own. That's what the law was screaming at us. You can't do it on your own. You can't get there. You can't earn it. You can't by all of the works, right? But then Paul goes on and tells us that you're saved by grace through faith, yet not of yourselves, or otherwise you'd be able to boast about that. Man, look at what I did. Look at this. I've earned my way in here. No, not hardly. But now that the Holy Spirit has done that work within you and you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and you've been set free, now you have been saved to do good works. Are you with me? In other words, now that we're saved and born again, He expects us to do the good works, to do the right thing, and to create a bonus. Amen? Okay. Is this helping anybody? Okay, one person. It's still worth it. It's still worth it. Sister. Amen. Amen. You are one of our greatest cheerleaders, that's for sure. What else can I share with you before we get into Acts? How much time do I have? I want to at least get you out of here by 3. Okay. Okay, all of these feasts are a rehearsal, and I think we kind of touched on that already, didn't we? Okay. Like I said, I do not have time to share everything with you. There is so much. Okay, some of the things that they did do. One of the, you know, and I told you they read Psalms and so forth, and they did a lot of praise and shouting and worshiping and so forth. Another thing that they would read would be the book of Ruth. And why the book of Ruth? Well, there's several different things. First of all, Ruth has a lot to do with not only the combining together the Gentile and Jew, the Hebrew, but also they had a lot to say about harvest and because of the harvest season and so forth. And remember, some grain were being left so that those that were not as fortunate could go and glean from the fields and provide for themselves and would not have to beg for it and so forth. And so there's a lot in the book of Ruth that they would read and connect with and so forth. But also at the end of the book of Ruth, there is an announcement. Do you know what that announcement is? The birth of King David. King David was born today. Today's his birthday. You were born on King David's birthday. Ho, 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 ho. How awesome is that? Right? Well, you guys are not excited today. Come on. Wake up. Okay, let's go to Acts. Do what? We're going to go to Acts. We're going to go back to chapter 1 just for a little bit, and then we're going to jump into chapter 2. And we're going to go through some of this fairly quickly. But I told you I had 2 dreams, right? And so the second dream, I want to go back to. They were one mind, and were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. They were there in one mind. Now, Just a second. I'm taking a commercial break. Oh, okay. Now it's coming together. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so remember, how many was in the upper room whenever the Holy Spirit fell? About 120 is what we understand from the Scripture, right? But do you know how many were invited? 500. Yeah, absolutely. 500. And so 120 is about a fourth, right? A fourth of those actually showed up. But, you know, didn't that remind you of something else? You remember when Jesus was teaching the parables and he was talking about the different types of soil, those that would be receiving the word and so forth, and some would just be totally rejected and so forth. But only one fourth of them actually got it. Well, there on the day of Pentecost, only one fourth of them actually got it. What Jesus was trying to teach was actually demonstrated right there. Okay? And so the second dream I had, which I had the next day, so I woke up from this dream. And it was a good dream too. I was eating Oreos. Yeah, I love Oreos. And these Oreos must have came out of the boxes downstairs because they were crumbly. They were broken. And and so I'm eating these, and then the McKenna kids, all of them, started helping me eat those. And they were picking up the pieces and handing them to me as I'm shoving them into my mouth. And this is going pretty good. And then Connor, I guess he gets the idea that I like them broke, and he picks up this great, it looks like an Oreo, but it's big enough. You know those moon pies, the chocolate ones that's got, that's what it looked like. And he goes, bam, like that. Breaks it, then hands that to me like I was intentionally eating the broken ones. And that's funny, but at the same time, what does that speak to me? It speaks community. And we're not in this together. I mean, we're not in this separately. Yeah, I get this right. You mean what I know. You know, a lot of Christians have this idea, and it's kind of gotten that way down through the years, that Christianity is a personal thing, and it's just between me and the Lord, and I'm at the altar, you know, or whatever, and I just one by one we're coming to the Lord and so forth. No, it's actually a community thing, and when the church was birthed, it was birthed by a multitude of people. And we are to be working together as a family. One of the things that Pastor Lance talks about many times, we're doing life together. We're doing life together. We can't be on our own. We can't be a lone ranger and survive. God created us to need fellowship. He created us to work together. He created us to live together. Don't be coming to my house. I'm thinking you're going to move in. That's not what I'm saying. It's not that kind of community. That, right? They've tried. There's been experiments. They've tried that many times. Even in southern Indiana. But what I mean is this. We're in this together. We're in it together. We're in it together to live. We're in it together to serve one another, to help one another, to encourage one another. We're in it together to die together. Let me say that one again. I don't think you really appreciated that. You didn't seem to get too excited about we're in this together to die together. They literally died on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came within them. Died to self and resurrected to a new life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, are you in Acts chapter 2? We're not going to have time. Oh, wow. Okay, so let me just hit something. What is it, Lord? What do you want done? Okay, chapter 2. Let's just start. We're going to read a couple verses. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. They were doing community, right? And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. Now it says like. It didn't say it was a rushing wind. A lot of people get that wrong. It was not a rushing wind. It was a loud sound that came and that filled the upper room. It sounded like rushing wind. How many have heard the tornadoes lately that's gone over? And so depending on which one you heard, some of them sounded like a freight train. I can remember as a kid, a tornado went right over our house, and it sounded like a freight train, and the house was shaking and everything as it went over. Fortunately, it didn't touch down, but it was loud. It was loud. Not too long ago, now I heard it twice, but one of them really came close to our house there on Shrine Hill, and I'm out standing out there on the front porch like I normally would do when storms are coming. I'm out there watching and praising God and having a good time. And I'm hearing, as this clown's approaching, I'm hearing this noise. Woo, woo, woo. And I yelled back in the house and I said, "Honey, there's somebody's flying airplanes in that cloud." That's exactly what it sounded like. It sounded like the old World War II prop planes going around and around in that hurricane. But it was what they call a rain-drenched or cloaked hurricane. And so it produced a different... tornadoes. Yeah, we're wrong place. There is a hurricane, though, right now in the Pacific. But anyway, the tornadoes. And then just a couple of weeks later, there was one that went south of us that was the same... And it sounded like this is the very same thing you could hear. And that's the one that did a lot of damage as it went farther east. So, there they were in the upper room, right? And there was a noise like a violent rushing wind. Okay, now I don't have time to take you back to Exodus, but if you'll read in your own time, if you'll read in chapter... 19. If you'll read in chapter 19, it talks about Moses going up to the mountain and Israel coming up there. But this time it's a little more graphic. It talks about the lightning and the thunder and the shaking and so forth. And Moses says, "Come on, now you go." There is power in the presence of the Lord. It's the only way I can describe it. There is power in the presence of the Lord. They're in His throne room right now. If you were to go there and stand before the throne of Almighty God in the throne room, you will hear thundering. You will see lightning. You will hear sounds like rushing winds. And all kinds of emotion goes through your body. Part of your flesh is going, "Let's get out of here while we still can before we're French toast." And the other part is said, "No way. This is where I belong." Amen. So there was this loud sound, like violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. If you read in Exodus chapter 19, you will see there was fire that came down upon the mountain. And smoke. There was such a parallel between these two events that happened on the same day, only 1,500 years apart. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because of each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished. Why? Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and districts of Libya, around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" So you see, in the presence of God, things were happening. People were bewildered, and there were several different miracles taking place all at the same time. This is a simultaneous miracle in the fact that it says that those that were filled, that 120 that was in the upper room, they were all filled when the fire, tongues of fire lit upon them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues, in other words, in other languages that they did not know and understand. Secondly, those that were hearing, knowing that they were, wait a minute, aren't those all Galileans? But yet, why is it, how is it, how can this possibly be that we're each hearing them in our own native tongue, our own native language? So there was not only the miracle of the speaking in the tongues, but there was also a miracle in the hearing and the receiving back what was being said. And what was being said was praises unto God. God was being exalted. He was being lifted up. They were talking about the great and mighty deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say that to say this, is that a lot of people through the years and denominationally and divided up on this and so forth, and have really come to a lot of wrong conclusions rather than really hanging in there to what the Scripture actually says and begin to make things up. And so some of the things that are made up is this. Well, you're not born again if you don't speak in tongues. That's not true. That's not what it's saying there. In fact, if you really want to get technical, those that were in the upper room, I know 11 of them had received the Holy Spirit before. When Jesus said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," and he breathed on them. Okay? Paul tells us that whenever we hear the Word of God and we act upon it, we respond to that in a positive way, then he says that then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit unto salvation. In other words, you have been given a portion of the Holy Spirit for redemption to seal you with the promise that there's something greater coming. Are you with me? It's kind of like, remember we talked about the wedding thing there in the Old Testament in Exodus, which it truly is. You can read that out if you understand, especially the Hebrew weddings and so forth, but there was a promise given. Now, whenever Phyllis and I, we'd been dating for a while, I did not give her an official engagement ring, but I did give her a ring with a promise. And the promise was that I will replace it with something better. And I let her keep both of them, being the generous man that I am. But you see, that's the way with the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that we receive the Holy Spirit with a promise of something even greater coming, greater proportion, greater measure, the fullness of Christ Himself in us. Here's another misnomer. Okay, so if you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you have a prayer language. I want to tell you something. They didn't receive a prayer language there. That's not what it says. A prayer language is communion between your spirit and the Heavenly Spirit. And it is valid. And it is very beneficial. Don't hear me that I'm denying that or trying to discredit. No, sir. But what I am saying is that's not what he's talking about here. That's not what took place. What took place here is whenever the tongues were spoken, there were those that heard and understood what was being said. It was in their own native language. And that still happens today. I know of testimony. In fact, I heard a testimony yesterday where a gentleman was sharing that he was speaking in tongues, and someone said, you were telling me about Jesus Christ in my own language. How did you know my own language, my language? He said, I don't know your language. I'm an American, I only know one language. So it does happen. Still happens. Amen? So let's not go away again. But there is power in the Holy Spirit. Okay. So there's feast days, right? This feast day is Shavuot. It's the Passover. But let me, and these are God-appointed days, and God recognizes them. He fulfills them. Let me share with you some that has already been fulfilled. It doesn't mean that there's more yet to come, because many times it is. One of the things that I tell Friday morning Bible study, as well as in our home group, is that history repeats itself. Are you with me? And so, Jesus was crucified on Passover. Remember the blood of the lambs that was shed, caused the death angel to pass over. And Jesus' blood was shed on that day, 1,500 years later. So Jesus fulfilled Passover through his crucifixion. Jesus was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Jesus rose from the dead on the day of first fruits. And the Spirit of God came on Shavuot, Pentecost. 1,500 years after God gave his word. Those have already been fulfilled. How many more feasts yet to be fulfilled? And they will be. Amen? Okay, just give me a second. I think I've covered most of my notes. We were going to do some more in two, but we don't have time. Okay, two things I want to share. We read down to verse 12, where they said, and what does this mean? There were those that were bewildered, right? They were wanting to know and understand. They were hearing in their own tongues and so forth. But you know what? That was not the response of everybody. Not everybody was thrilled. Not everybody heard in their own tongue. Not everybody exercised faith and received the power of God in that particular moment. Verse 13 says, but others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. In other words, they're drunk. And then that fires up Peter, and he begins to preach. Man, they're not drunk as though you suppose, and so forth. And then he begins to quote Joel, and this is that which happened that was prophesied by the prophets and about your old man dreaming dreams, and so I guess an old man dreams dreams, and your young men prophesying and so forth, seeing visions, wasn't it? And prophesying and so all of that is being fulfilled. And what he's saying is, this is that. But listen, it didn't stop that particular day. It did not stop on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Are you hearing me? How do I know that? Because it tells us in Acts chapter 2, if you continue to read, Peter, he's preaching the gospel, he's preaching Jesus Christ, him crucified and resurrected and so forth, and talking about the benefits and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what's taking place. But then he says in, let's see, I think it's in 36. Nope, that's not where I want him. Although that's a good verse. Okay, verse 39. That's what. So let's just jump down to verse 39. We're going to close with this. Because listen to this promise. For the promise is for you, talking about the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the Holy Spirit, the cleansing of the blood of Christ, the resurrected power, all of that is a promise, is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Did you hear that? In other words, it is a perpetual promise. It is a promise that was given to your fathers, but also it's given to you, and given for your children's children, all the way down. A perpetual promise that the Holy Spirit, to all of those that will recognize him and call upon him and realize what he did 2,000 years ago at a place called Golgotha and the resurrection. The promise of that Spirit, Holy Spirit, the resurrection Spirit and power is for you. It's for you. It's for us to be able to do community. It's for us to live a life of power, to live a life of abundance, not an abundance of getting wealth for ourselves, but an abundance to further the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And so we are to work together. We are to work together. And we are to take the leavened bread and wave it before the Almighty God. One reason why they were to raise the leavened bread and to wave it is because, you see, the first wave offering was an offering that God had provided. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who is able to bring forth the grain from the ground. And so that wave offering was an offering to celebrate and recognize what God had provided for you and for me. Amen? But this offering is not only to recognize what God has provided, but also it is an offering of, we have taken what you have given us and we have multiplied it. Look what we were able to do with it in power. It ought to remind us of the parable that Jesus was teaching with those that were given talents, mites, and so forth. They were given talents, and then when the master returned, look here what I've been able to do with yours, and I've multiplied it and so forth, and here's the return and all. And he says, oh, blessed are you. Enter joyfully into the master's kingdom. But the one who hid it didn't do anything with it. He didn't multiply it. He just hid it. Even that was taken away. And he was cursed. We have been given so much. Such great power in the Holy Spirit. What have you done and what are you doing with him? Are you expanding the kingdom of God? Are you making Jesus proud so that when he returns, he'd be able to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen.